The next LOS is to describe types of debt issued by corporations. Most corporations fund their businesses to some extent with bank loans. These are typically LIBOR-based variable rate loans. When the loan involves only one bank, it is referred to as a bilateral loan. In contrast, when a loan is funded by several banks, it is referred to as a syndicated loan, and the group of banks is the syndicate. There is a second market in syndicated loan interests that are also securitized, creating bonds that are sold to investors. For larger creditworthy corporations, funding costs can be reduced by issuing short-term debt securities, referred to as commercial paper. For these firms, the interest cost of commercial paper is less than the interest on a bank loan. Commercial paper yields more than short-term sovereign debt because it has, on average, more credit risk and less liquidity. Firms use commercial paper to fund working capital and as a temporary source of funds prior to issuing longer-term debt. Debt that is temporary until permanent financing can be secured is referred to as bridge financing. Commercial paper is a short-term unsecured debt instrument. In the United States, commercial paper is issued with maturities of 270 days or less because debt securities with maturities of 270 days or less are exempt from SEC registration. Euro commercial paper, or ECP, is issued in several countries with maturities as long as 364 days. Commercial paper is issued with maturities as short as 1 day, with most issues maturing in about 90 days. Commercial paper is often reissued or rolled over when it matures. The risk that a company will not be able to sell new commercial paper to replace maturing paper is termed rollover risk. The two important circumstances in which a company will face rollover difficulties are when there is a deterioration in a company's actual or perceived ability to repay the debt at maturity, which will significantly increase the required yield on the paper or lead to less than full subscription to a new issue, and when there is significant systemic financial distress, as was experienced in the 2008 financial crisis, that may freeze debt markets so that very little commercial paper can be sold at all. To get an acceptable credit rating from the ratings services on their commercial paper, corporations maintain backup lines of credit with banks. These are sometimes referred to as liquidity enhancement or backup liquidity lines. The bank agrees to provide the funds when the paper matures, if needed, except in the case of a material adverse change, which means the company's financial situation has deteriorated significantly. Similar to U.S. T-bills, commercial paper in the United States is typically issued as a pure discount security, making a single payment equal to the face value at maturity. Prices are quoted as a percentage discount from face value. In contrast, ECP rates may be quoted as either a discount yield or an add-on yield, that is, the percentage interest paid at maturity in addition to the par value of the commercial paper. In the previous topic review, we discussed several features of corporate bonds. Corporate bonds are issued with various coupon structures and with both fixed rate and floating rate coupon payments. They may be secured by collateral or unsecured and may have call, put, or conversion provisions. We also discussed a sinking fund provision as a way to reduce the credit risk of a bond by redeeming part of the bond issue periodically over a bond's life. An alternative to a sinking fund provision is to issue a serial bond issue. With a serial bond issue, bonds are issued with several maturity dates so that a portion of the issue is redeemed periodically. An important difference between a serial bond issue and an issue with a sinking fund is that with a serial bond issue, investors know at issuance when specific bonds will be redeemed. A bond issue that does not have a serial maturity structure is said to have a term maturity structure, with all the bonds maturing on the same date. In general, corporate bonds are referred to as short-term if they are issued with maturities of up to 5 years, medium-term when issued with maturities from 5 to 12 years, and long-term when maturities exceed 12 years. Corporations issue debt securities called medium-term notes, or MTNs, which are not necessarily medium-term in maturity. MTNs are issued in various maturities ranging from 9 months to periods as long as 100 years. Issuers provide maturity ranges, such as 18 months to 2 years, for MTNs they wish to sell, and provide yield quotes for those ranges. Investors interested in purchasing the notes make an offer to the issuer's agent, specifying the face value and an exact maturity within one of the ranges offered. The agent then confirms the issuer's willingness to sell those MTNs and affects the transaction. MTNs can have fixed rate or floating rate coupons, but longer maturity MTNs are typically fixed rate bonds. Most MTNs, other than long-term MTNs, are issued by financial corporations, and most buyers are financial institutions. MTNs can be structured to meet an institution's specifications. While custom bond issues have less liquidity, they provide slightly higher yields compared to an issuer's publicly traded bonds. The next LOS asks us to describe short-term funding alternatives available to banks. Customer retail deposits are a short-term funding source for banks. Checking accounts provide transactions services and immediate availability of funds, but typically pay no interest. Money market mutual funds and savings accounts provide less liquidity or less transactions services, or both, and pay periodic interest. In addition to funds from retail accounts, banks offer interest-bearing certificates of deposit that mature on specific dates and are offered in a range of short-term maturities. Non-negotiable CDs cannot be sold, and withdrawal of funds often incurs a significant penalty. Negotiable certificates of deposit can be sold. At the wholesale level, large denomination negotiable CDs, typically more than $1 million, are an important funding source for banks. They typically have maturities of 1 year or less and are traded in domestic bond markets as well as in the Eurobond market. Another source of short-term funding for banks is to borrow excess reserves from other banks in the central bank funds market. Banks in most countries must maintain a portion of their funds as reserves on deposit with the central bank. At any point in time, some banks may have more than the required amount of reserves on deposit, while others require more reserve deposits. In the market for central bank funds, banks with excess reserves lend them to other banks for periods of 1 day, referred to as overnight funds, and for longer periods, up to a year, referred to as term funds. Central bank funds rates refers to rates for these transactions, which are strongly influenced by the effect of the central bank's open market operations on the money supply and availability of short-term funds. In the United States, the central bank funds rate is called the Fed funds rate, and this rate influences the interest rates of many short-term debt securities. Other than reserves on deposit with the central bank, funds that are loaned by one bank to another are referred to as interbank funds. Interbank funds are loaned between banks for periods of 1 day to a year. These loans are unsecured, and as with many debt markets, liquidity may decrease severely during times of systemic financial distress. The final LOS for this topic review requires us to describe repurchase agreements, or repos, and the risks associated with them. A repurchase, or repo, agreement is an arrangement by which one party sells a security to a counterparty with a commitment to buy it back at a later date at a specified higher price. The repurchase price is greater than the selling price and accounts for the interest charged by the buyer, who is, in effect, lending funds to the seller with the security as collateral. The interest rate implied by the two prices is called the repo rate, which is the annualized percentage difference between the two prices. A repurchase agreement for 1 day is called an overnight repo, and an agreement covering a longer period is called a term repo. The interest cost of a repo is customarily less than the rate on bank loans or other short-term borrowing. As an example, consider a firm that enters into a repo agreement to sell a 4% 12-year bond with a par value of $1 million and a market value of $970,000. The firm sells the bond for $940,000 and agrees to repurchase it 90 days later, the repo date, for $947,050. The implicit interest rate for the 90-day loan period is $947,050 divided by $940,000 minus 1, which equals 0.75%. The repo rate would be expressed as the equivalent annual rate. The percentage difference between the market value and the amount loaned is called the repo margin, or the haircut. In our example, it is $940,000 divided by $970,000 minus 1, which equals negative 3.1%. This margin protects the lender in the event that the value of the security decreases over the term of the repo agreement. The repo rate is higher the longer the repo term, lower the higher the credit quality of the collateral security, lower when the collateral security is delivered to the lender, and higher when the interest rates for alternative sources of funds are higher. The repo margin is influenced by similar factors. The repo margin is higher the longer the repo term, lower the higher the credit quality of the collateral security, lower the higher the credit quality of the borrower, and lower when the collateral security is in high demand or low supply. The reason the supply and demand conditions for the collateral security affects pricing is that some lenders want to own a specific bond or type of bond as collateral. For a bond that is high demand, lenders must compete for bonds by offering lower repo lending rates. Viewed from the standpoint of a bond dealer, a reverse repo agreement refers to taking the opposite side of a repurchase transaction, lending funds by buying the collateral security rather than selling the collateral security to borrow funds.